welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Anupam Bakshi, founder of Agnesys. He has more than two decades of experience implementing a wide range of products and services in the high-tech industry. Prior to forming Agnesys, he held various management and technical lead roles at companies such as Avid Technology, PictureTel, Blackstone, Cadence, and Gateway Design Automation. Welcome to the podcast, Anupam.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
The first question I'd like to ask is, what brought you to semiconductors? You know, some people have interesting stories. I mean, do you have anything you can share with us?
Oh, sure. So this goes back way, way back. I don't want to say how back, but back when I was in school days, my uncle actually was into electronic projects, and he created a small electronic project where he had a small gadget which would we press a button and it would sound like a bird. And that really fascinated me. I opened the box. I saw a bunch of wires and electronic components. I can still picturize it. And the interesting thing was I went outside and I was fiddling with it, playing it. And a real hummingbird came by, you know, trying to investigate what that was. So that was really interesting, like that electronics was. I was really fascinated by it at that time. And so that got me started. And, you know, I always was tinkering with the electronic projects throughout my school life and in college days. And so that's just never thought about it being a career. Always was a fascination. And, you know, I never thought about it, you know, how the job market would be or anything like that. I was just interested in electronics. And so that's how I guess I got into it.
Yeah, my brothers and I did the same thing. We had these things called Heath kits where we made these electronic products. And my parents really never thought that it would be a career either. But, you know, clearly this was in the 70s. Clearly things have changed. So let's talk about the chip verification challenges. What type of challenges are you hearing from your customers? What is the prevalent thing today?
Well, actually, what it is today is just more of what it was earlier. I mean, the usual, you know, rising complexity of the designs and also configurability of designs. People just want more and more of it. And then there is also design reuse. People are getting more IPs from third party, and also in-house. They're reusing what is in-house, and the challenge is really integrating all that together. And not just peripheral IPs, but teams are creating their own CPU cores, be it ARM-based or RISC-V based, and they're creating their own cores. And all these create a lot of challenges, not just for design, but verification, firmware, software, all around. Those are the challenges that we see the customers facing.
I tell you, I think verification is one of the biggest challenges in semiconductor design today. And you know, I look at the jobs posted on SemiWiki, and verification jobs by far outweigh other specific chip design functions. So if you're going to be, you know, an engineer in EDA or an engineer in semiconductor design, verification is a good field. But let's talk about specification automation. You know, that part of verification. Let's talk about that as being a solution. Can you explain to us what that is and where we are today with it?
Yeah, so you touch upon a good point. So verification is the you know, it takes up the biggest amount of time in the development, in the chip development process. And why is it so? It is because people are converting the specification manually into code. And then the verification people have to go in and check whether that was converted properly or not. And that's why it takes so much time. And so specification automation kind of leads into that, because what it is you create a specification and automatically, and, you know, correct by construction, create the code, create the RTL code. And so that reduces the need for verification. So, you know, specification automation is what we started like 15 years ago. We started with like the simple registers. You know, that was like the low-hanging fruit. Like we just addressed that problem. That was very evident. You know, you just automate the register part because that's something everybody needs. And, you know, the software people need, the hardware, the firmwares, everybody needs that. So we addressed that. And from there, we quickly expanded into, you know, complex, hierarchical, multidimensional, quirky, strange registers. And then we went beyond that. You know, again, I'm talking about specification automation, which means capturing something in one place and then generating everything from it, correct by construction. So we went into sequence and algorithm automation. Again, a single point of entry for the algo and creating various outputs from it. So these are the things we're working with, and now we're building more things on top of that. So having these things in place, now we're adding more and more levels of abstraction on top of that. Again, in that same theme where, you know, the architect or the designer creates a specification, presses a button and gets the code and reduces the need for verification.
Right. So what about input formats? What input formats do you accept? I mean, you got to get the data into the tool. What do you accept for these, you know, executable specifications?
So we accept. So there are some that are industry standards for. For example, the register part, the system RDL and IP exact. But for certain things, there aren't industry standards. So we're pushing the envelope. We're basically going into you know, other types of specifications. You know, these are template driven specifications. So we can accept other formats in Excel and even in English. So we've actually taken English as input format and converted that into code. Really, I mean, you know, if you can describe it in a format that can be parsed, we can take that input and generate useful output from it, useful code from it.
Great. So what about AI? So AI is everywhere. Does AI play a role in any of your automation processes?
Yes. So like I mentioned, English being one of the input formats. So what we've done is recently, we have been quite successful in taking English and converting that into system verilog assertions. So kind of, you know, as you describe your design in, you know, natural English, you know, using that as input and generating assertions from it. Actually, not just assertion, also detecting sequences and creating algorithms from it. And that, of course, uses AI and ML algorithms. So definitely we see a role of AI more and more so. We also think that it'll be very useful in the verification aspect as well. So AI will be used in verification. We've got some projects going on in that space also.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I think AI is a big deal. And we've just really scratched the surface of what capabilities it has. So what sort of customers use your tools and what is the value proposition?
So in terms of customers, we're lucky that, you know, anybody who's doing any IP development, FPGA or ASIC or SoC, they would use our tool. So it's really a whole range of customers from small startup. Many of them recently are in AI field, which is interesting because somehow they understand the value of what we offer. And you know, going from not just the startups, but also for large corporations, often doing their own SoCs or their own CPU designs. They use our products. And the value proposition is really, you know, we own this space of, you can say, executable specification for registers, sequences, and beyond. And, you know, it's our headache to ensure that everything is correct by construction. And so that's a piece that they don't have to worry about. So, you know, 20-30% of the code that is being written is all correct by construction. You don't have to worry about it. You focus on your own sweet sauce that you're providing. That's our value prop.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of customers. I see you guys out there, and you know, it's gone quite well. This has been a great couple of years, certainly for EDA, and I know for your company. So what's next? You know, what are you working on? Where are you going to go from here?
I think we are working on expanding the role of specification automation. Like I said, we are taking those building blocks for registers and sequences, and now going into complete IP, creating a specification for not just the hardware-software interface, but going beyond and trying to describe the entire IP in an executable format. And no, it's not Verilog and VHDL. That's very low level, kind of higher level than that. So it's kind of in the middle. And then generating everything that is needed. Of course, that reduces the amount of work that you have to do downstream, because it will give you correct by construction RTL. It will also give you the verification environment, and also it will produce the tests. You know, it sounds too good to be true, but you have to come and visit us at DAC and check it out. The other thing, you know, we have already used AI on our website, ispec.ai, and people can try out the algorithms. They are crowdsourced. They're put on the website. You just have to put your email, and you can start using the English to SVA and English to sequence detection. That's already there. So I'll welcome people to come to the website or visit us at DAC in July.
That's great. Yeah, so it's agnosys.com, and you can also read about them on SemiWiki. We've been working with them for quite some time. And yeah, I definitely will see you at DAC. We'll spend some more time, and we will probably write some more. So that's a great place to stop. Thank you again for your time, and we'll see you at DAC.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me here.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.